Diary Fragment, Napier, New Zealand, August 1893. August 26, 1893, Napier, New Zealand. Friday, August 25th, was a day of exhaustion to me. I was undecided in regard to going to Napier and speaking on Sabbath. We had decided to hire a horse and carriage for a few weeks. Elder Wilson, Emily, and I started for Napier, and if I was so weak I could not travel, I would return after making the trial. But I grew stronger every mile we traveled and reached Napier, 13 miles away, in 2 hours and 15 minutes. The road was level, and I was much better when we arrived at Dr. Caro's than before we started from Elder Wilson's, at Hastings. I feel grateful to my Heavenly Father for His restoring power, which He graciously bestows upon me. I will praise His holy name. August 26th. I arose at a little past 4 o'clock and commenced writing in reference to religion in the home. If all parents would consider that the future of society is indexed by the youth of today, there would be an entirely different condition of things in our world. Responsibilities would be felt. I feel deeply over the neglected duties of parents. Because of their neglect, they are defrauding their own souls of the peace and happiness which they might have in their children. And through the neglect of their duty, plainly revealed in the Word of God, they have His frown upon them rather than His blessing. They are practicing the worst kind of robbery toward God. He demands the whole heart service of parents and children, but He does not receive it. The high concerns of eternity and the salvation of their souls are left out of their reckoning. The things which belong to their eternal peace are neglected, misplaced. In the place of being made first, they are last. Oh, how many have laid their souls on the altar of mammon! They have dismissed the Word of God from their counsels. Love of gain is supreme. Cupidity controls the entire man. Reason is overborne. The soul is a slave to mammon. In the place of seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness first, the worldly considerations come first. They are not heeding the injunction of God and are deliberately discarding one of the most essential injunctions of His Word. That which should be made supreme is the Word of God and His righteousness. Now is the time, just now, to change this state of things. Since writing the foregoing, I have again spoken in Napier, and I am grateful to our Heavenly Father that He has given me strength to walk to the church and speak more than 1 hour, and to walk back to Sister Caro's. The Lord gave me subject matter that I did not select or even think of speaking upon: the commandments of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. I dwelt especially upon the abuse placed upon the fourth commandment, turning from God and accepting a spurious Sabbath. The Lord touched the hearts of all present. I presented the condition of our world, arrayed against the Lord God of heaven, disloyal to God, taking the side of the Prince of Darkness to war against the holy law of God. The world have chosen their leader, and the world and the man of sin, who thought to change times and laws, have converted the church. God is dishonored, His law trampled in the dust, and a spurious Sabbath inaugurated. With intense satisfaction, the subjects of Satan see his throne apparently established firmly upon the earth. But his time is short. Emily has taken the discourse and will write it out. I have consented to speak in Napier Sunday evening. I do not favor speaking in the evening, but I will depart from my usual custom when it seems to be essential. In the evening, August 25th, Sister Caro presented the case of a Maori boy, about 16 years old, who had embraced the truth and was baptized. He obtained his father's consent to go to the school at Battle Creek, according to his request. His father, who was in a government position, gave his consent, but someone wrote to the father and grandfather, and their attitude changed toward him. Hitherto, he has had all the money he wanted, for he will come into possession of large landed property when he is of age, 21. When this letter came to the grandfather, who has the property in charge, he was changed, and through the bitter opposition of the clergy, his relatives refused to give him any money to attend our schools. This was a bitter disappointment to the boy.